Johnny Z from Albany coming to the final furlong. Opens up now. 3-4 lengths on Heldish in second. Down inside is Lost Weekend trying to hold on to third. The outside is Wild Hunch. Here's Johnny Z. Johnny Z from Albany.
To the races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
Yeah.
Johnny Z and Jerry Lee bringing us into this edition of Off to the Races. Yeah, driving up to D.C. to catch the Washington Wizards last night when I heard the news about Jerry Lee Lewis, the killer, is no longer with us. How disappointing is that? Those of you who listen to Off to the Races understand what a big fan I am of Jerry Lee Lewis and little executive privilege there in the opening. Johnny Z won the Maryland Million Nursery. Why did we play that? Well, his trainer, Chip Reed, will join us on Off to the Races in our Living the Dream segment with Frank Vespi. A big, big weekend last week at Laurel Park with the Maryland Million. We'll have much more on recapping the Maryland Million a little bit later in the show. In a few moments, we'll speak with Betsy Brown. Betsy Brown has been involved, it's family tradition with her. She's been involved in standardbred racing for probably more years than she wants me to say over the air. But she's been recognized by the House of Delegates previously, and she joins us on Off to the Races here in just a few moments. Also on Off to the Races, we have Debbie Easter in about 15 minutes. To talk about this, it's such a big, busy time in racing. I'm interrupting myself because we have the Breeders' Cup. The early entries are out, the pre-entries, the draw will be on Monday. So we're going to do a little bit of recapping. We'll talk to Debbie a little bit about what has happened since we've been on the air and talk to her about events happening in Virginia. Just it's been a busy and a successful year in thoroughbred racing in Virginia, and our opportunity to do that will be this show, because next week it is going to be Breeders' Cup wall to wall. Thanks again for spending your Saturday morning with us. We mentioned the Maryland Million. Let's go back last week where we tried to find a little bit of value with a couple of horses like the Poser and Tap and Cat, some of these horses that ran at Colonial Downs. Prendimi was last year's winner of the Maryland Million Classic. Dave Rodman, a familiar voice, guides us home in last week's Maryland Million Classic.
Turning for home in the Maryland Million Classic at Our Nation on Parade, sweeps up to the lead and pops away, opens up two lengths now in upper stretch. Our Nation on Parade and Jamie Rodriguez, they're three in front, they're almost four in front. Van Scholar's on the inside trying to run on for a share. The Poser on the far outside is double crown, but it's Our Nation on Parade in full flight now in the Maryland Million Classic, a convincing winner indeed.
It wasn't exactly a parade because Our Nation on Parade was not moving at parade speed, but it certainly seemed like that. 5 3/4 lengths, the winning margin for the favorite that paid $6. Unsuccessful in getting a big ticket home in the Maryland Million Classic, but a very great day, just a perfect weather condition for racing. We really enjoyed that last week, watching that up at Laurel Park where Frank was, and I'm sure Frank will have a little bit more to add as he interviews Chip Reed here shortly. We just recapping a few more items from Maryland Million at Laurel. Philly d'Esprit won the Maryland Million Distaff. That was a horse that won at Colonial Downs. And that horse was a favorite as well for Xavier Perez and John Robb. So congratulations to those connections in winning the Maryland Million Distaff. And Philly d'Esprit will continue on her winning ways. For the Love of Bourbon was Derby Bill's play of the day. not a big price there either. The upset sort of happened early in the day at Laurel Park last week, but For the Love of Bourbon paid $3 for trainer Michael Pino. Paco Lopez getting the win there. Just trying to recap a couple of results there on Maryland Million Day. Also this week, have a little bit of a Virginia Derby update with a race that was held up at the Big A, Belmont at the Big A at Aqueduct, and a former Virginia Derby winner trained by Graham Motion, Wooten Asset, got a win. John Embriel calls the win of Wooten Asset's race last Thursday at Aqueduct.
As they come into the stretch, It Can Be Done is next in third, then Original, followed towards the inside by Shadow Sphinx. Ocean Atlantique is gaining some ground, along with Wooten Asset as they come for the 16th pole. Here comes Wooten Asset, who is kicking in late here. Wooten Asset pouring it on through the stretch and wins it by a length.
Not only the way Wooten Asset won, but the just a very nice win for Graham Motion there, and a Virginia Derby winner just keeps winning. So congratulations to those connections. Want to reach out now to Betsy Brown, who joins us. She's been racing at Shenandoah Downs, and just great lineage, standardbred lineage in a sport where you just don't see too many female drivers competing against the males, but it happens up at Shenandoah Downs, Shenatoga as I call it, and she joins us now on Off to the Races. Betsy, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thanks for joining us on a crisp and clear Saturday morning. Going to have another great racing day up at Shenandoah Downs today. Except for Hurricane Ian, the meet just must be churning along. It's very favorable weather throughout the meet. You have probably one of the shortest commutes to the racetrack of anybody that participates. Maybe that works to your advantage. But just give us maybe your thoughts on the meetup at Shenandoah Downs, now racing at 1 o'clock Saturday and Sundays.
Yes, we've been blessed with good weather this year. We had one rainy day, but most of the days have been nice. And coming up next Sunday is a very exciting day because it is the Virginia Breeders' Championship Day for 2 and 3 year old trotters and pacers on June 6th, and the forecast is for 72 degrees, so that's fantastic. That'll be our closing day for this year. And now the fans can even bet on the races online through their favorite provider like TVG, ExpressBet, TwinSpires, and New York Racing Association Bets. It's NYRA Bets, and which is really nice because people can sit home and watch the races and bet on them. But I'm very, very fortunate to have a very short commute in here. It's about a mile from the farm.
Yeah, you mentioned the simulcasting that you can do. It's strange. At Colonial Downs over the summer, I had a very disappointing meet. Doesn't happen to me that often at Colonial, but so far at Shenandoah Downs, I haven't put a whole lot into the handle. Maybe I should do a little bit more because I've actually been doing pretty well there, making up for a summer swoon, so to speak. Tell us a little bit about your background. You came into this sport through your father, and now you're driving with your teenager. You know, tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to the middle of Shenandoah County.
All right. Well, I grew up in upstate New York, and I can remember when I was 5 years old sitting on my father's lap jogging horses. So I started pretty young and just always loved horses. I never wanted to do anything else. And I ended up moving down to Virginia and was fortunate to end up in such a beautiful town as Woodstock. And let me see, I've been racing, I got my racing license 1979, so it's probably 43 years, I guess. And 2 years ago, I hit my 500th win mark, so that was pretty exciting. Let me see, there was, you mentioned the teenager is Morgan Marston, and she also partners with me on a couple of my horses, and she started out jogging, sitting on my lap jogging when she was about three or four, and now she's getting into the sport and actually sent for her matinee license this year. So that's exciting to see the younger people come into the sport.
A matinee license. I haven't heard that before. Go ahead.
You're not allowed. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're not allowed. When you're 14, you can get a matinee license to race at the fairs. Will put on a matinee race. You don't go for money. You win like a halter or a blanket, but it gives young people, you know, some experience as far as the driving aspect and being in a race. Sometimes there's only two or three in there, but it's more like a exhibition race, I guess you'd call it. But it's very exciting for the kids that can't quite get a fair license or a qualifying license yet. Just let them get started.
I happened to be calling the races there last year when it was Betsy Brown Day. You were recognized by the House of Delegates, and remember their ceremony. It seemed to be a little bit cooler, if I remember right, on that day than what you might have today. But how rare is it? How many other female drivers are in this sport? How difficult is it to be a female in a game like this? Was it ever hard for you, or was it something that just came naturally?
It seemed natural for me to be out there because I was raised with four brothers and I just did whatever they were doing, so it didn't seem strange for me. But when I did first start, there was guys that, you know, they're like, oh, what are you doing out here, you know? And they were more out to not let a woman beat them, I guess. But that has kind of gone away now, and they just kind of, you know, you just race your horse and you don't worry about it. But there are other women drivers. Stacy McClanahan is here at Shenandoah Downs. She does very well, and she's been driving for years. And, there's a few. I could probably name a handful of women drivers, but like you
said, do you see it growing? Do you see it becoming more prevalent in the game?
I don't really know. There just doesn't seem to be many that want to be out driving against the guys, I guess. But the ones that do very well, I think.
Yeah, Stacy McClanahan was a guest on our show last week on Off to the Races. Well, good luck with the conclusion of the meet at Shenandoah Downs, and congratulations on your success and the success of the meet. It really is a great venue up there. A little bit throwback, but that's okay, especially on when you don't need air conditioning on days like today. And just good luck with the rest of the meet. It is a good time up there.
Yes, it is, and the people are fantastic around here. So thank you, Nick, for having me, and thank you for the good luck wishes.
Great. Betsy Brown joining us from Woodstock on Off to the Races this morning. We talked a little bit about calling some races. Just saw overnight the Colonials TV signal host, the simulcast host, Jessica Paquette, has been named as the full-time announcer at Parks, the old Philly Parks. So congratulations to Jessica on getting that title. I think I read that right. She will be the first year-round female that'll be calling races where they basically run races year-round. She gets that assignment at Philly Park. So congratulations to Jessica and Debbie Easter, who is the executive director of the Virginia Thoroughbred Association, now joins us on Off to the Races. A very busy show here. And Debbie, good morning. Thanks for getting up with us. Even though it is 10 o'clock, I know you've been up several hours, but thanks for getting up with us on Off to the Races this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been a remarkable year. I wanted to get you on the show this week because next week, of course, the Breeders' Cup, and we can kind of go through maybe some of the pre-entries here because there are some connections to Virginia and Colonial Downs that we can perhaps go through. But, since our first show back in early February, the world has really changed coming into the throes of late October in terms of racing in Virginia. It's been quite a year, hasn't it?
Sure. We're just coming off a great Colonial Downs meet. I think you've probably told everybody that, wagering was up 30%. The level, the quality of horses and the racing that we had at Colonial Downs was just, I would guess, made us probably second to most days to Saratoga on the East Coast, and who knew we would come that far that fast, and just horsemen from all over the country, and everybody was very happy with the way Jill Byrne and her team put things together on the pack side, and I don't know, just very positive. And you know, there's things that we still have to work on. We'd still like to build the breeding business stronger here in Virginia, because that probably over the years has taken probably the biggest hit of anything, just because breeding is difficult in a regional basis. And here in Virginia, we've just lost breeders and things have moved to Kentucky because people are breeding more commercially. But I think we have some plans to help incentivize people to breed horses. Our certified program's going great. And one really exciting thing that might be happening that might be helpful is that Churchill, where we're hopeful that we'll be the new owners of Colonial Downs, has made a deal with FanDuel and the owners of TVG, and they're going to make it so that you as a sports wagerer don't have to have two accounts to go to your ADW, your wagering horse racing online. It can all be done with one account. So hopefully we would start to pick up some fans and wagerers from the sports betting that's gone really well, and we could pick up some new fans, and those sports betting companies need content, and racing fits really well with that. And so I'm excited about the long-term prospects of that and all the sports wagering companies eventually picking up horse racing.
Yeah, that deal announced this week. Also this week, just sort of a minor update, nothing really new to report from Carstangen, Bill Carstangen, who is with Churchill Downs, the CEO, adding that the sale of Colonial Downs, which is, it's a complicated deal involving several states. The Virginia part's been done for some time, and that sale does remain on track. Unfortunately, as we see it, so does the sale of Arlington, unfortunately, which we always hate to lose from a racing standpoint. It's such a great venue there in Chicago that going to be very difficult to replace. But yeah, the news there. When we came on the air back in February, Churchill Downs really wasn't even on the radar. Colonial Downs, that announcement came in April, and now moving forward with the sale, that was a pretty big news item, not only in the thoroughbred world, but also in the Virginia sports world, and just as Virginia news. That's Churchill Downs coming to Virginia.
Sure, and it's as you said, the passing of Arlington is just a shame. It's just one of the iconic, beautiful tracks that we have here in this country, and it's just a shame to lose it. But there's so many positive things. Churchill is actually, most people don't know unless you've explained, is really quite one of the larger wagering companies here now in this country, and gaming companies. But they also have certainly quite a bit of experience with large events and racing, and so we're hoping that they can help us on that front to really put our racing in the forefront as far as something in the future that people really look to Virginia as one of those spots that has quality racing and maybe some grade one racing down the road. So excited to see what they can do to help us with that kind of stuff.
You mentioned earlier the certified program and the success and what the impact, which I've personally witnessed, not only here in Charlottesville, but throughout the state, the impacts to places like Eagle Point and Braeburn, and even, you know, speaking to like Woodbury Payne, who's a big proponent of the program. It's actually, I was trying to pull this up and I just could not get the printer to bring up the juvenile pre-entries, but there are some sort of Virginia certifies that were picked up as part of the nomination, the pre-entries for the juvenile races on Friday in the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland this week.
So you're ahead of me because I haven't looked. I know that Forte spent his early years, his early part of his life here in Virginia. He was actually bred by a lady that has owned a farm in Northern Virginia, but actually was born in Kentucky, and then she brought him back here to raise him before she sold him. He is actually not a member of the certified program, only because he ended up not being here the required 6 months. But he's there. I don't know whether the filly that is a certified. I don't know if she made the pre-entries or not. I just haven't had a chance to look yet, Nick. So I apologize.
No, that's a big. It is a big list. It gets a lot simpler on Monday when they actually do the draw and the fields get set a little bit better. There are a couple of horses that I saw that were in some of the that raced at Colonial Downs that are part of the entries, like Frank's Rocket didn't race this year, but a previous runner, Front Run the Fed, is a horse that raced at Colonial Downs that's part, I think, nominated, needs a little bit of help to get in, but nominated in the turf sprint. Long Range Toddy is sitting there as part of the Breeders' Cup sprint, also trying to get in. I mentioned Front Run the Fed is also a candidate for the Breeders' Cup Mile. And then Red Knight in the Breeders' Cup Turf, you know, the winner of the Colonial Cup, that horse has really done well coming out of the meet at Colonial.
He has, but that's a tough race that the Europeans usually dominate there, huh?
Oh yeah. You know, that's always something you have to look at. And just the pre-entries that I printed for Saturday, I mean, some of these horses just took up a whole sheet of paper when you start looking at the PPs just by themselves. You know, one of the things that also kind of kicked in this year, just sort of going back, is the HISA implementation, the authority that's going to govern sort of the broad industry now. Went into effect July 1st. So that's another, you know, things have been moving quickly this year and having impacts in Virginia racing.
Sure. So I don't know for your fans if they know that's a new federal law that is going to have the feds testing the horses and overseeing the safety and regulation of racing. And they're just starting to implement it. The legislation passed early last winter, I think. And so we're all kind of feeling our way through that. It is, I think the goal is something that we all can be right behind, which is, you know, clean racing, safe racing. But it's just it's getting in the weeds and the details, getting those worked out that are always the trouble. And it's one of these unfunded federal mandates. So right now it looks like the biggest thing is figuring out how we're going to pay for all the new requirements.
Yeah, in an effort to sort of streamline racing and make it more unilateral among the states. You mentioned earlier the meet at Colonial Downs. It's still very early in terms of preparations for next year. It does look like there's going to be an increase in days. That's been discussed, and perhaps some sort of change to the schedule has been alluded to. But, you know, what do you kind of look to coming out of what was such a successful meet where you had jockeys coming down on non-big days, like I've read Ortiz, you know, spending that symbiotic relationship that existed with the Saratoga card and the Colonial card, early week Colonial, late week Saratoga, that works so well. You know, what do you hope to build on, not only from a breeding standpoint in the state, but also from a racing standpoint?
Well, we know that having to run on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is not the best thing for our fans, and we want the fans in the stands at Colonial Downs, because that just heightens the whole day when we have plenty of people, and there are a lot of people that enjoy racing here. Because we're such a short meet, there's some organizational hiccups as far as being able to get people into certain jobs that make it easier when we run, or make it possible, I would say, when we run Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday versus on the weekends. But we know we've got to get more days. We know we've got to get weekend racing. We've got to figure out how to staff things and get the organizational things done there at Colonial. And so I think all of us are committed to do that. Will it happen in 2023? Probably not all the way there. We're going to expand the days, but I think we're all trying to figure out how we could get a couple weekends at least going of the 10 weeks that we're doing. But we're just really early on this because Churchill hasn't officially taken over. We're still real early on those conversations, but I think we're all aligned in the same goals. It's just how far, how quickly we get there.
Yeah, I'm already looking forward to it. But
it was so fun, and it, you know, but you brought up a very good point. You know, a lot of what brought some fun to Colonial this year was having the name jockeys like Irad and those kinds of jockeys that come to Colonial. We won't have that opportunity if we're running weekends against Saratoga. But we sure, you know, I think that our purse schedule and the number of horses that we get are gonna make, you know, jockeys and name jockeys pay attention to Colonial in the future. And I think it's just something we're going to build on and get better after this year.
Yeah, I do too. It's very optimistic on the future of Colonial Downs. Well, Debbie, it's 2 hours till kickoff for UVA in Miami, so I'll let you maybe perhaps get into tailgate mode, you know, being a UVA grad yourself. But thanks for spending some time with us on Off to the Races this morning, and we look forward to talking to you next season.
Yeah, look forward to next weekend with the Breeders' Cup and Wahoo Wah. Let's have a win today.
Yeah, build on that that win over Georgia Tech some 10 days ago. Debbie Easter That's joining great. Us on Off to the Races this morning. Thanks a lot. We're going to go to break here on Off to the Races. When we come back, Frank Vespi is living the dream. He'll speak with Chip Reed, who had a great Saturday last week at the Maryland Million Nursery. We'll take a quick peek at the Breeders' Cup with Derby Bill. Following that, look at a couple of other races that have some Virginia connections as well, up at Belmont and at Keeneland. You're listening to Off to the Races, powered by theracingbiz.com.
Join the Maryland Jockey Club to celebrate the 37th running of Jim McKay Maryland Million Day on Saturday, October 22nd at Laurel Park. Come with friends and family to Maryland's Day at the Races and enjoy a great day of racing with on-track entertainment between races, including the Settlers Post Clydesdales. Visit the new Kids Zone, Ponies in the Paddock. Meet us at Laurel Park on Saturday, October 22nd. Visit laurelpark.com for details. First post, 11:30 a.m.
Harness the mountain magic at Shenandoah Downs this fall as harness racing returns to Woodstock, Virginia for an 8-week season beginning September 16th. Watch, wager, and win 10 times each race day. Happy hour racing every Friday starts at 3 o'clock and features $2 draft beers and $1 hot dogs. Saturday racing starts at 1 o'clock, and on September 17th, it's free long-sleeve t-shirt day. Own a horse for a day and win thousands of dollars. Rivers. Shenandoah Downs, where admission and parking are always free and the races are family friendly.
Champion Gunrunners, Full Brother Fortune Ticket, and the regally bred Group 1 winner Long River are just two of the exciting young stallions standing at Maryland's Anchor and Hope Farm. In his first year at stud, Fortune Ticket figures to be a hot commodity, standing for a fraction of the price of his big brother. And Long River's first runner should hit the track this year. Also at Anchor and Hope are leading regional stallions like Holy Boss, Editorial, Bourbon Courage, and Imagining. Anchor and Hope Farm, bringing the best to the Mid-Atlantic. Learn more at anchorhopefarm.com. Welcome back, everybody. Frank Vespi here on Off to the Races Radio, powered by the Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. And so let's look back to Maryland Million for a minute here. Going to be joined shortly by Chip Reed, owner breeder of Johnny Z from Albany. And you know, one of the things I really enjoy about days like Maryland Million, West Virginia Breeders Classic, some others, the state bred stakes days at Colonial, there's so many really good stories that come out of them. This year at Maryland Million, you had Sammy Davis winning the turf, a huge win for his six-horse stable at Laurel Park. You had one-time $10,000 claimer Fee de Spree winning the distaff. But maybe the best story of all was Johnny Z from Albany, who won the nursery. Let's hear Johnny Z in the stretch drive here from Dave Rodman.
Johnny Z from Albany coming to the final furlong opens up now 3-4 lengths on Heldish in second. That inside is Lost Weekend trying to hold on to third. The outside is Wild Hunch. Here's Johnny Z. Johnny Z from Albany. Johnny Z from Albany scores in the Maryland Million Nursery.
Johnny Z's owner breeder Chip Reed joining me now from Florida. How's the weather in Florida today, Chip?
It's a little bit warmer than yesterday. 87 and sunny. Beautiful day, no humidity, very, very nice.
Now, let me ask you this. Thanks for spending a little bit of a Saturday morning with me here on Off to the Races, Chip. Give people, I think one of the elements that makes this story so great is the name of the horse. Give people the background. Who is Johnny Z from Albany?
Well, my partner Henry Hoke and my partner Mike Zanella, we go to Saratoga every year for 2 weeks. We go two separate times a week each. And Mike is from the Albany area. He grew up in Albany. And his older brother is John Zanella. And every time we would go to Saratoga, John would meet us at the airport. He'd pack us a big picnic lunch with beer and sandwiches, and then take us to the races and take us to wherever we happen to be staying at for that week, and loves the horses, and became a very good friend with all of us. So unfortunately he passed, he was like 82 or 83 years old, and he passed right after Johnny Z was born. So Henry and I got together and we said, geez, wouldn't it be nice to name a horse after John? So we came up with Johnny Z from Albany, and he has a big following in the Italian club in Albany. So all those guys were at the OTBs here in Maryland Million. So I'm surprised we went off at 4-1, actually, because a lot of those players up there bet Johnny Z, including Mike's sister, Donna, who follows the horses and goes to Saratoga a lot. So it was kind of a family affair, and it was fun. And that's kind of how the name came about.
Now, was it just the timing that made you land on Johnny Z, or was there something sort of about this horse specifically that made you think there would be a nice connection there?
No, I think it was pretty much the timing, because we were all, you know, when John passed, we were crushed, you know, and it just happened. Hey, wouldn't it be nice? He loved the horses, and he loved Albany, stayed in Albany his whole life. So I said, what a great connection. And of course, you know, Saratoga is less than an hour away from Albany, so there's a lot of horse players there that we know. So that was pretty much the reason.
talking with Chip Reed, owner breeder of Johnny Z from Albany. And Chip, coming into the Maryland Million last week, your horse had lost to Heldish a couple starts back, who was in the race. Your jockey jumped ship to ride another horse trained by Del Capuano, who's your trainer. How are you feeling coming into Maryland Million?
That's a good question, because we were kind of like shocked that Carlos chose to ride the other horse, and it was his decision. And you know, Dale kind of left it up to Carlos. He rode both horses. He rode Lost Weekend and he rode Johnny Z. And I guess he felt that Lost Weekend was a little bit better than Johnny Z. And you know, Ruiz gave us a great ride. I mean, it was perfect. We were speed. We knew we were speed. And we jumped out, and he saved the horse, so he had something left in the stretch. And I was shocked that we went off at 4-1, because he had a tremendous work a week before. He had worked really, really well. He worked the same day as Lost Weekend, and our time was a couple, you know, fifths of a second better than Lost Weekend. So I felt we were really ready. We had one more race experience in Lost Weekend, and we had a big group. We had a big group there that was pretty confident that we were going to run good. There was a couple other horses in there. Heldish, of course, had beat us once before, but if you read the racing form, you'll see that we were in a big duel with another horse from out of town. I don't know if it was Recruiter or Super Chow. And we were head and head from the start all the way to like the 16th hole. And finally we gave up a little bit, and then Heldish was able to, you know, catch us and beat us by a neck. But I actually felt that we were a little bit better than Heldish. And that was the key to my exactness, was us and Heldish and Lost Weekend. So it ran, you know, ran pretty much. And then there was the 11 horse, was also a nice horse that there was a lot of backstretch talk about him, that he was a nice horse, and you know, he ran third. So it was a good race, and we ran our best race. Obviously our best buyer going into the race was like a 69 or something, and then we found out that in this race that we ran an 84. So that was much, much the best. And then that horse, I don't know if you looked at Keeneland yet today, but that Hurry Up Chow is in a $200,000 race today. So
keeping the right kind of company there.
Yeah. So we felt that we were beat by a pretty nice horse. I was actually surprised that we were 4-1. I thought we'd be closer to 2-1. So I was very happy to get 4-1.
Yeah, pretty wide open race according to the bettors. The favorite was Wild Hunch, who went off at $2.30 to 1, and you were 4-10 to 1.
Right.
So $10 winner, $18 on the exacta for a $1 wager. Chip,
this is
one of the neat elements of the story here, obviously, as we just discussed, is who Johnny Z was. But another one is, this horse is out of Monster Sleeping. She was a mare that you raced and won 2 Maryland Million races with not so many years ago. How special does it make it to sort of carry that legacy on?
Oh, it was great. We were shooting all year when the horse came in, and Dale and I had a talk, and I said, Dale, I think we have another Maryland Million horse. The horse is built right. He looks good. He trains good. And sure enough, we got lucky, and he took after his mom. And his mom was all grass. He could not run on the dirt. And both of her races were long on the turf. So we think we have something to look forward to next year, is to, you know, to put her on the grass. And she worked once on the grass, and she seemed to love it. So we're looking forward to her racing on the grass next year.
Well, it seems like he might be able to get two turns as well, which might be something fun for
you. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you watched how she galloped out going six. So she galloped out very, very strong. So I think we she should be able, with a little bit of, you know, time off and a little time to get her to grow a little bit, she should be fine to go two turns. She's built like she wants to go two turns.
Talking about Johnny Z from Albany, winner of the Maryland Million Nursery last weekend at Laurel Park. And Chip, one other interesting element is Johnny Z is by Blofeld. And for folks who don't know, Blofeld is putting up just world beating numbers as a young stallion. I think almost literally every one of his offspring in the race has won. He now has two stakes winners. They're winning at an incredible clip. I'm curious, but we didn't know all this when you were choosing to breed your mare Monster Sleeping. What made you choose Blofeld?
Well, it was a funny thing. We like to race and breed, you know, in Maryland, and we like to go to Maryland stallions, and we pretty much, you know, and my partner Henry likes to look up and check things out and so on, and we both liked Blofeld, and we called and talked with Mrs. Mary, who I've been associated with for the past 25 years. I had a share in Wayne County, and we've bred to, you know, several of her stallions and so on. And I always liked Blofeld, and he was, you know, built the right way. And we went out to see him, and we loved him. So basically, we were just taking a chance that we, you know, we like to breed the younger stallions. I bred to Two Punch with a Bold Affair, who won $900,000 for me. And he was a Maryland bred that was kind of unknown when I, you know, not unknown, but not nearly as popular as he later became. So we like to get them, you know, young. And Blofeld was available. We liked him, and, you know, the rest is history.
It's worked out pretty well. Blofeld, Johnny Z from Albany was Blofeld's first stakes winner. He got a second one later on the card with Chickiness. So first two stakes winners for Blofeld. And actually, yeah, it's interesting that you talk about breeding to young Maryland stallions, because although you didn't breed Monster Sleeping, she was by a young Maryland stallion in Oratory.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you're in Florida. You made the trip up. I guess it was a worthwhile trip from Florida to Maryland last weekend, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I haven't missed the Maryland Million in 20 years, so I definitely wanted to be there. It's a great day at the races. You know, you see everybody involved in Maryland Million, you know, comes on Maryland Million Day. You know, the trainers, the owners, the fans, and it was a beautiful, you know, it was a beautiful day, and everything worked out fine. And they got a new wrinkle at Laurel. They had a champagne toast for all the winners, and that was pretty nice. The Mike Rogers and his crew, you know, supplied champagne after each, you know, of the stakes races, and so they used up four or five bottles for our group. We had a big turnout, so it was a lot of fun.
Should we expect to see you in December on the day of the Maryland Juvenile Championship?
Well, I talked with Dale this morning, and he said we're going to see. You know, he seemed to have come out of the race great, and there's several spots that we're looking at, and we're going to wait and see what Johnny Z tells us to do. So he'll let us know if he's ready to go, you know, on the third. We'd like to give him a little bit of time. He's raced four times as a two-year-old. That's, you know, a lot for us. So he may or may not go there, but that seems to be the logical spot.
All right. Well, Chip Reed, thanks for joining us this morning on Off to the Races, and good luck. We'll be keeping an eye on Johnny Z from Albany going forward.
Good. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Nick, that's the story of Johnny Z from Albany.
Yeah, just part of a very successful day at Maryland, at Laurel Park. Usually I do this show from my office down in Charlottesville, but I'm actually doing it from the house here, looking up at a tape where we did a show on the Maryland Million back in 1999. It's a cassette, and I'm trying to figure out how am I ever going to play this thing. I don't know that I have a cassette player anymore. So I wonder what's on it. You know, I'm sure Derby Bill was on it, and yeah, it's just a great event. Looking forward to next year. That's going to be a tough act to follow. This was really one of the better Maryland Million events. Thanks a lot, Frank.
All right. Thank you, Nick. Good luck this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, great. Yeah, absolutely. On our last show of the year will be next week, Breeders' Cup Day. We'll give you all the picks, and then we won't even hold ourselves accountable to them. It can be a tough day with the Breeders' Cup, and especially with maybe one of the things that really surprised me, I guess, about the pre-entries. If you look at the Breeders' Cup Classic itself, I guess maybe it's Flightline just scaring everybody away. Only 9 entries, pre-entries for the Breeders' Cup Classic. It's all quality. It's absolutely all quality. Cyberknife, Epicenter. Epicenter had a very redeeming win in the Travers after just an exceptional Triple Crown that was held this year with early voting winning the Preakness and Mo Donegal winning the Belmont Stakes. Had the Rich Strike is coming back in the Classic. He's the only one still racing out of the Triple Crown, and had a very near miss in the Lucas Classic at Churchill Downs. And just by the way, for the schedule, Keeneland races today, closing day. We'll get to some of these races with Derby Bill in just a moment, but then they go to Churchill for the meet, and they'll race at Churchill for whatever the meet is, the winter meet, except for Friday and Saturday, where they'll hold the Breeders' Cup races at Keeneland. So after today, they won't be racing on any of the surfaces until next Friday for the Breeders' Cup. But I mean, very small. Taba is in this group. Rich Strike, another 3-year-old. Olympiad is a 4-year-old who won the Jockey Club Gold Cup at Saratoga. Life is Good is another older horse, Hot Rod Charlie. The 3-year-old sort of Cyberknife Epicenter. We saw this coming, actually. 4 3-year-olds, 5 older horses in the Breeders' Cup Classic, $6 million a mile and a quarter. And I would expect all of them to enter. It should be a good race. But I'm just kind of surprised the pre-entries came up sort of small. But now reaching out for Derby Bill, and let's give him one of his proper introductions with his own bumper music. What do we have this week?
Yippee-yi-yay.
Ghost Riders. Ghost Riders in the Sky, Marty Robbins.
Riders in the sky.
I suspect this has something to do with Halloween. Derby Bill is riding around with some pumpkins, some fiery pumpkins underneath his arm. He's been accused of being headless before. We all have, especially after our picks. But Derby Bill, am I right about that? Ghost Riders in the Sky?
Yeah, a little old school there. You know, I had Corn and Freak on the Leash for you, too. But you're not a headbanger like me.
Yeah, you know, I do like music that's a little more melodic, perhaps. And but yeah, Ghost Riders, that fit the weekend well. Halloween coming up on Monday, trick or treats, and
they used to have the headless horse rider at I think it was in Kentucky. They have the free candy for the kids and everything. They need to bring that back. Nick could be the headless horse, headless handicapper. There you go. New title for you.
If you saw my picks over the summer at Colonial, it's not a new title. I think I'd started getting that title back in the summer.
Let's talk. You got to listen to some Alice Cooper or something and headbang, get them brain cells working good for next weekend's Breeders' Cup.
Boy, it does jump on you, doesn't it? Just 9 races on Friday, on Saturday, 5 races, the juvenile races on Friday. one day you got to really start looking at the bloodlines and the breeding, and the other day you're a little bit more into the PPs. It's we've had a lot of fun with it over the years, the Breeders' Cup Classic. Remember, especially in the early days when we used to watch it from Mike Barone's house all the time. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'd be nice to be there, but it's kind of chilly in Kentucky. They have 10 Friday and then 12 Saturday races, but they have 14 Breeders' Cup races that even the football fans and the baseball World Series fans are asking me about information for the races, because, you know, starting at 3 o'clock, they're all on TV. You know, everything's on TV. So nowadays, one channel or another, you might have to switch channels from FS2 to NBC to FanDuel TV, but they're all on TV and there's 14 of them. So a lot of people asking about it.
Yeah, a lot of da 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 that you'll hear going in and out of breaks on the NBC coverage, the music that they play. Let's start with the Breeders' Cup Classic. I mean, this, we don't have the draw, but I'm pretty certain we have the field, barring any defections that could surface this week. It looks like everybody, the Cyberknife is somewhat cross pre-entered, if that is a word, because Cyberknife might choose to go elsewhere, but it's the first time really that the three-year-old, and it really is a cream of the crop of the three-year-old field, goes up against the others. But man, everybody is talking about Flightline. They're just wondering what this horse is going to do next. Undefeated in his five starts, his last win was by some 19 lengths in the Pacific Classic. He's won at Belmont. He's won at Del Mar. He's won at Santa Anita. Just blitzing the mornings. Do you think this is going to be some sort of phenom effort by Flightline, or do you, you know, early on, do you see, you know, is this going to be his first real test?
It's definitely your first real test on a deep Keeneland track, which is one of the deepest dirt tracks there are. So that's a big change. It's like him running at Del Mar, I guess, on the sandy beaches of Del Mar out there in California. But, the horse has got the ability to, you know, turn himself into an all-time great. I mean, they're talking Secretariat with Flightline. You know, everybody, obviously out west, they're saying that because they want the greatest horse ever to come from the West Coast. So, you know, instead of Secretariat. So we can beef up against him in that one. He hasn't proven against the big boys yet. But this one, I got offshore, illegal, legal sports books. Got him anywhere from 4 to 9, Nick. Have you ever heard of 4 to 9?
That's no, like, no.
We have to pay $3 to bet on that horse, I think. It's almost that bad as far as bet. I've never seen a favorite like this in the Breeders' Cup Classic, line-wise, early. Epicenter is like 5 to 1, and Life is Good is, you know, right there with them, 5 or 6 to 1. And that's being very lenient here with the money that'll fly in on Flightline. I mean, if you're Elon Musk, you're betting Flightline, and you're betting it heavy.
I guess Derby Bill doing a little bit of a tease for next week. Look for an upset from Derby Bill's picks in the Classic next week. Let's take a little bit of a look this week. They're still racing at Keeneland. It'll be closing day today. We got the Fayette Stakes, which is a county that Lexington is in, a mile and an eighth on the dirt. And this has a field of only 6, including Chess Chief, who is bred by Morgan's Ford Farm in Front Royal, Virginia. The horse that has raced at Colonial Downs a few times, and the 6-year-old, I think it was the Virginia bred horse of the year this year as part of the BTA. But the King Fury is in this group. Last Samurai is in this group. But the favorite is First Captain with Shug McGahey and putting Luis Saez aboard. You want to start there at Keeneland? What do you think about the feature at Keeneland today, a grade two?
Yeah, Keeneland's great. Churchill starts Sunday, their fall meet, with $120,000 maiden special races. Nick, the money is just everywhere nowadays. this race is the Haggard is 350K, mile and an eighth on the dirt. We like a mile and an eighth on the turf, but Last Samurai, just a dangerous front runner and could steal this race from the front at 6-1 or better. So, you know, that beats First Captain's even money odds. So I might take a shot with Last Samurai, see if he's got anything left in the tank here. Westwell Power is another one also, as he's more of a tactical horse. So, you know, he'll be chasing Last Samurai. I'm just hoping Last Samurai gets out fast on the deep track and makes people happy at 6-1 or better.
By the way, just after that race, it's an allowance race, but Violencia, who was a winner of the Andy Guest at Colonial Downs last year, and Chatera, who won the Seeking the Pearl at Colonial Downs last year, are both in that race. Just as a don't turn the dial so quickly after the feature at Keeneland today. Let's ship over to the Big A, Belmont at the Big A, as they call it, where they run the Awad Stakes. Seven horse field has a Virginia bred in it, not Griffin Farm. Jim Fitzgerald's operation in Marshall, Virginia, has a winner of a race at Colonial Downs, a Jamestown winner, Todd Pletcher, who trained Compensus, who won the Virginia Derby. And seemed much out of Compensus since he won the Virginia Derby. I have to see, maybe get caught up with his ongoing progression for next week. But Sendero is 5-1 in the morning line here. Let's Go Big Blue is the favorite for George Weaver. Eric canceled the gets the assignment there. Very balanced field. This is going to be a great race for a mile and a 16th for these two-year-olds, most of them going around two turns for the first time. What do you think about the fourth race? It's early in the day at 2:12, the Awad.
Yeah, like the mile and a 16th on the turf compared to the other dirt ones, the Calso and the Pumpkin Pie, my favorite, the Pumpkin Pie, and then Bold Ruler today. So it's a solid card there at Belmont. I'm going with a horse called, in tribute to myself, Con Man, number 10. 10-1 in this race. Number one, it's price. He makes sense. His figures are pretty good. Just a very dangerous loose. Another front runner, Nick. And then got one. Don't want to forget Freak on the Leash goes today at Shenandoah for you in honor of Betsy. In honor of Betsy Brown. Great name. Betsy Brown.
Bet. You got it. We're all through today on Off to the Races. Breeders' Cup next week. Want to thank Betsy Brown, Debbie Easter, Frank Vespi, Chip Reed, Derby Bill, who I had to rudely cut off today. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Off to the Races post time, 10 o'clock.